You know, I've got a solution. If we all start showing up at 9 o'clock like I do, then we can get all of our visiting out of our system and we'll be ready to start class on time. Ella says that ain't going to happen. Hard to break old habits. We are glad that everybody is here. Cold, crisp morning out there. It's good to see David back. Cheryl. We're just happy that everybody's here. Thank you all for coming. What's a parable? A heavenly story with a spiritual meaning. Oh, earthly story with the spiritual meaning. I said it backwards. That's my fault. Oh, it's your fault. Oh, good. Thanks, David. I appreciate you giving me somebody to blame. I make mistakes all the time. Last mistake I made, I was 5. I thought I'd made a mistake. I thought I'd made a mistake and turned out I hadn't. That's the definition that we give it, and it's an accurate definition. What does it mean? See, that's the real key. Simplifies. Okay. I got John and then David. Okay. What is it that God is communicating? You're all accurate, 100%. Nona?
It's a story that He tells. He does not want the world, the Jewish people, to tell, to understand. He tells a story that the apostles need to understand, and He tells the parable so that the Pharisees and the Jewish people don't understand it. So they don't understand who Christ is and who He is.
Okay. I'm actually trying to guide this ship somewhere, if you haven't figured that out yet. Cecil?
The principles that's in, or principles involved in the parable.
Say that real loud for me.
The principles that are involved in the parable, which are from an earthly perspective, are also the same principles that generally in the case of Christ is trying to teach on a spiritual level.
Okay. It's an earthly story. That's an accurate definition, but it kind of gives us the idea, this concept of story. I can tell you a story about Mary Had a Little Lamb. I was listening to the song coming in today. It tells you my taste of music. Okay? But I can tell you that story, and we all understand it to be a story. A parable is intended to teach spiritual principles by illustrating those principles for us in an earthly way or in a way in which we can understand. John?
It seems like to me it's twofold. It can be God trying to translate His will for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A spiritual principle. It's not a story in that this is God's law. It's the things that are involved. And as John said, it's got variations to it. It can be God trying to tell us His principles. It can be God trying to correct us. It can be, which we see. Okay? It can be God illustrating for us things that are going to be. But this is fact. When Christ tells a parable, He is trying to teach doctrine or fact, spiritual principles. And that's why I had you say that loud, Cecil, because that's what's important. That's what we need to understand when we're looking at parables. Okay? So last week we actually had that discussion of what a parable is. because we are now in this discussion of parables, the fig tree that we've already talked about. And we're going to be looking at more this morning. So, it is time to start our class, and we're going to open with a word of prayer. And Charles, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. Okay. We are in Lesson 9. It's page 26 if you've got your lesson. There are some single sheets of lessons or that I made sure we had out there for Lesson 9, 10, 11, and 12. And also made up a couple, three more of the complete packets, which, by the way, we have a new copy machine, and I'm already in love with it. I made four packets this morning, stapled. It staples for us now in less time than it took me to make one previously. So I'm in love with the machine. If you want, what that means to you is, if you need copies of something, we can get them very quickly, but they are there. So lesson 9, and turn over to Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to be looking at this morning. Last week I gave you homework. Who remembers what the homework was? Define the various types of soil from the parable of the sower. Prime example of what we just discussed. We all understand, and they really understood what it meant to sow. You carried a bag of seed, you walked out, and you flung it. Okay? That's how they planted. Well, that seed fell every which way. Some of it fell on rocky ground, some on good soil, some on thorny soil, some, okay? It just went everywhere. There's the parable. The homework was for us to look at the different types of soil. Drop down to verse 18, Matthew 13. Christ explains what the parable is. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. This is what I'm trying to teach. These are the principles that I'm trying to get people to understand." Okay? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what is this word of the kingdom that's under discussion here in the context? Keep it in the context. In the context, this isn't talking about the gospel. Why? And there's a reason for that. Who's the discussion with? It's with the Jews. Christ told the parable to the Jews. He's explaining it to the apostles. And David, when I say it like that, I don't mean to sound quite so abrupt, because the principles of it do apply to the gospel and what we do. But in the context, Christ is speaking to Jews. What was then the teaching for the Jews concerning the kingdom? They thought it was going to be an earthly one. They were waiting for it. Cecil?
The kingdom is at hand, and so he's trying to prepare their minds to be able to receive the gospel when it does get there.
That's the key. When Christ came preaching the kingdom is coming, same thing John the Baptist preached, mind you. The kingdom had not yet arrived. It was going to. It was coming. But it had not yet been established. The kingdom of promise. And we've already done this. We've gone back. We looked at the prophecy in David, or in Daniel, concerning Nebuchadnezzar's statue. We talked about the promise to David that his kingdom, his throne, would stand or last forever. Okay? Would be eternal. That's the kingdom under discussion. Has not yet arrived. What is the gospel by definition? Yeah, good news of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. He was the Messiah. What was the Messiah to establish? The kingdom. Okay? That's why he came, to die for us and establish God's kingdom here on earth. Did he? Absolutely. So what's the kingdom? The church. That's what's under discussion. Now, in the context, Christ is pointing towards the kingdom. But then he says, here then, are when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. So what is it that he is saying? John? I wouldn't argue that.
And I believe that it's referring to those who would obey his commands. They were part of his spiritual human being under the old law.
They should have been.
Right.
And isn't that what both John and Christ came preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he telling them? Turn back to God. Go back to being God's children. Cecil? Okay. Say, those who would fall away were, absolutely.
Yeah. Of teaching these parables and other things to gain their hearts, to turn in the direction to be able to accept that gospel.
Yeah. You know, my dad used this whenever he tried to explain when I was a kid, and I remember this vividly. Tried to explain what a parable was. He took my hand over, took me over to the stove, turned the burner on, held my hand up to the fire. And he just kept moving it closer and closer. He said, tell me what you feel. I said, it's hot. He says, okay, do you want to put your hand in that fire? And I said, no, it'll burn. He said, hell is going to be a lot hotter. There's an earthly principle in heat, in torment, to what's going to be. So now I have to make the choice. Am I willing to take that chance? That's already hot. Do I want to mess with that? Okay? David, you had a point.
Yep, but the point would be is that you have to teach to the two different groups in different networks. You couldn't teach to the Gentiles the way he's teaching the gospel to the Jews.
Sure.
Sure.
Absolutely. That's why Paul says to the Jew, I was a Jew. To the Gentile, I was a Gentile. Absolutely. Yeah. But Christ spoke and taught essentially to the Jews. Okay. He is trying to get the Jews, as John pointed out, to come back to God. To re-enter that particular kingdom. Okay? Christ is talking about and pointing towards when the new kingdom would come, the kingdom that would be inclusive of both Gentile and Jew. And he says, but to get there, what do you have to do? We just read it. Verse 19. What do you have to do?
Understand.
What's the first step to understanding? Hearing. You got to hear it. You got to, and we're not talking about noise, okay? Saw a little sign, one of those things that pops up on the computer, you know. It said, my wife gives me sound advice. 99% sound. Think about it. Okay? It's just words. You just hear noise. That's hearing, but it's not scriptural or biblical hearing. This is talking about taking it in, processing it, and letting it become understanding. That's biblical hearing. So Christ says, if anyone hears the word of God, if they hear the words and doesn't understand it, what happens? What's it say? Satan snatches it away. Definition one, this is a type of ground. Remember our homework? What type of ground is this?
Wayside.
It's the wayside. Okay? If you've ever done much hiking, go ahead, Cecil.
I want to kind of hopefully throw this in there as we get almost past the five. The kingdom is likened to. The kingdom is likened to. There's, how many parables have we read and heard and know there are different parables? And so we just discuss the way that we teach the Gentiles, the way that we teach the Jews, with the many different parables that Christ used to edify with, so often taught generally the same principle. And
oh, yeah.
So when we see that, we see that we try to attract people with the proper principle. We may have to tell the story a different way, and that's what we see in all the different parables, but we're doing it to gain that person's understanding of something they can relate to.
Yeah.
And that's true especially today when we find audiences that know something about agriculture and they know nothing about tall buildings in New York City, and yet we're going to approach them with generally two different perspectives with the same gospel, with the same principles, but we're hopefully edified enough and knowledgeable enough and hopefully intelligent enough that we can produce that kind of information, maintaining our integrity of the principles of what Christ taught us, so that we can attach a understanding or reason with someone.
Yeah, here's what Cecil's saying, if I can take that and put it in a few some different words. I sold steel for 30-some years. The principle, the whole point was to move product out of my warehouse into somebody else's yard. I sold steel. That didn't change. But when I walked into Floyd Thompson, his little welding shop, blacksmith shop, still used the belts, had one electric motor, and ran belts to all of his equipment. All of his equipment was belt run. I watched him work at a forge. When I talked to Floyd, I sold steel in one way. My purpose was to sell steel. But when I left Floyd and drove over to Sauwasser Manufacturing, which was a whole lot more sophisticated and a whole lot bigger company, I didn't walk in and talk with Dennis the same way that I talked to Floyd. Two different things. And when I left there and dropped into Upright down in Selma, that was a worldwide international company. I didn't deal with the PA there the same way that I dealt with the other guys. But my purpose never changed. My whole purpose was to sell steel. That's what I was getting paid to do. Okay? Yeah, we might change our approach on how we're dealing with Gentiles and how we're dealing with Jews. And to be quite frank, you're going to change your dynamic of how you present the gospel, even to a doctor, a lawyer, a carpenter. You pick it. Why? Because they're coming from a different perspective. How do we, when you're talking about, this is kind of a quick aside, the four Gospels, who did Matthew write to? Matthew wrote to the Jews. What was Matthew? He was a Jewish tax collector, publican. He had a perspective that he came from. And he approached it in a perspective to the Jews who were very concerned about genealogy and where you came from. So Matthew's genealogy traces back through whom? Begins with whom? Joseph. Okay? When you read the genealogy in Matthew, it begins at Joseph. Now, you go over and you read the genealogy in Luke. What was Luke? He was a physician. So he had a different level of his perspective than did Matthew. Not that one was necessarily more intelligent or less intelligent than the other. They're just coming at it from a different way. Okay? When you read his genealogy, it's different than Matthew's. Why do most scholars think that?
Because where the genealogies end up at, one ends up at David, and the other ends up at Adam.
Well, yeah, they go, but it does go through David. But they both kind of say they began with Joseph, Mary. Yeah, that's what scholars tend to think. That's why the two different genealogies. That Matthew traced the genealogy through Joseph. Why? Because that would be Jesus' legal lineage. That's how the Jews...
It's his legal right to the throne.
Okay.
As the son of David.
Well, and his legal image here on earth. To validate his Jewish lineage, that had to be traced through David, or through Joseph, which again goes back to David and again goes back to Adam. The other genealogy that we see in Luke, it's different. And it's because they think, the scholars, most of the scholars believe, that that genealogy is Mary's. That's not a legal genealogy as far as the Jews are concerned. But it's the true genealogy. So you have both, and what does that point out? Both go to David. So Christ was of the lineage of David, and therefore, as you said, David legal to sit on, or entitled to sit on the throne. Go ahead.
But the only reason why it would be a necessity to go back to Adam, because that's where the reconciliation had started. God promised that it was through her seed.
Sure.
Yeah, he would crush the head of Satan. Well, that had to come from the seed of the woman, and the woman don't have no seed.
Yeah. So, and they both wind up going back to Adam. They both had to go back to David, because it was a promise that one of David's seed or lineage would sit on the throne. He would establish David's throne forever. So that's why the two different genealogies. But again, it just kind of, as we look at the Gospels, what we can see illustrated for us is that different perspectives of where you're coming from, and you teach differently. The Gospel of John. John had a purpose in writing his Gospel. What was it?
Deity of Christ.
Deity of Christ. Absolutely. What does he say? John chapter 20, I don't remember the verse. He gives us the reason. To establish the deity of Christ, what does he say? Exactly. Many other signs did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, but these are written so that you can believe what? The deity of Christ. So John's gospel is a little different. When you talk about the synoptic gospels, and in the, which, by the way, is what we're doing in this study, you don't see an awful lot of the book of John brought in. Why? That's not the way it's written. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are written concerning the accounts of Christ's life. Different perspectives, being addressed to three different groups of people, okay, for the most part. John, his book is there for a single purpose, to convince you that Christ was God. Okay. So when we're looking at these things, Christ taught in parables. And yeah, the impact or the perspective of how we teach them might be different because of who we're dealing with. But Cecil made this point. Let's emphasize it. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to, how I'm talking to them, what method I might be using to try and teach. What matters? What you're teaching. Is it God's word? If it's not, nothing else matters. Boy, I'm going to jump over here on my soapbox. Let me drag it over here. What did we just describe? Think about religion in the world today. What's important isn't how our approach is. What's important is the Word of God. Are we teaching what God says? And are we teaching it the way God says to teach it? Think about the world today. What does the world of religion use to attract people? Come on, you all know it. Just say it.
Entertainment.
Socialism?
Whatever's
popular, I didn't hear. Bells and whistles, I like that. Gimmicks, very good. Take those two and put them together. Those are perfect. Nothing but gimmickry, bells and whistles. That's not a word. I made that up on the spot. Okay? That's what the world religion is doing today. Our responsibility is to teach the principles that God taught. Cecil.
So we see the message altered because the people who try to promote the gospel don't have their heart in it.
Yeah. And we just, did I see a hand over there? Okay. Mary, you got to wave it higher. John's tall. Yeah. Absolutely. And we've kind of come full circle now. Some of the seed fell on the wayside. Now, if you've ever walked through the forest, done some hunting, you know that if you're on a deer trail, it's a little bit compact. I mean, if it rains or gets snow, it gets a little mushy. But it's a little bit compact. But boy, you don't have to go but a foot or so off either side. And it's pretty loose, fresh soil. Well, if seed falls on that, it can sprout. It can start to grow. That's what's under discussion under this heart that's the wayside. They've actually heard the word. It's sprouted. It has started to grow. And what happens? Who comes along? Satan. It'd be like that 5-point buck that I've never seen in the forest, walking down the path and eating as it goes. It just rips it out of the ground and keeps going. Satan comes and he rips that gospel out. Okay, David?
The emphasis that you're talking about here, where Paul talks in 2 Timothy 4, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers.
Absolutely.
The difference is, Gil, is that an individual that has studied to show himself approved will be able, through God's Spirit, to see the difference between the all of the Hebron,
the gimmickry, whatever that word is. Yeah. Now, Paul's talking about, here's the road, and I'm throwing seed, and a little falls over there, a little, and it takes root and starts to grow. Why is it so easily snatched away by Satan? The roots are not deep. Why? What isn't that seed getting? It's what David just talked about.
The roots are not in the right place.
Yeah, it's not getting nourishment. It's not getting fed. Those things that David just talked about, that's the nourishment and that's the feeding. That's why the seed goes away. Cecil?
We can say the ground is not ready for the word.
Okay.
The seed. And so then it puts a lot of emphasis on who the ground is and whether we've got our hearts prepared to receive the word.
Yeah. That's the wayside. There's one soil. Verse 20. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky place. So now this is a different soil, the rocky soil. What's the definition?
It's too hard.
Okay, what does Christ have? It's too hard. What's Christ say? This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. This guy hears it and accepts it. And I don't think it's a valid argument to say he didn't believe it. It says he received it with joy. But, what's the but?
The ground was not deep enough for him to have been prepared enough to receive the word.
Comes right back to what Cecil just said. John?
Well, trials and persecution, just when life, I mean, that simple to me, I mean, when life is hard, just wither away.
Mm-hmm. Life is hard.
Yeah.
Okay? I can't hear you. Yeah, there's no promise that God gives to His children anywhere that life's going to be easy. It's hard. And you'll hear me say this continually, all the time. It's one of my things. We're not judged on the circumstances of our life, ever. What we're judged on is how we respond to those circumstances, regardless of what they are. Cecil, then David. Absolutely. David?
The persecution and tribulation would be what the Hebrew writer is talking about.
Sure.
Why those individuals were stuck with sending themselves together. But what he says that this individual, because of the persecution and tribulation, he stumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And that stumble indicates that it as if the Hebrew writer talks about a drifting away from the truth. It is a lot of times big things in your life. Christ demands a lot, and if we're not careful to follow after His word, it's easy to drift away from those truths.
Absolutely. Did I see another hand over here? Okay. I want to come back to what Cecil said, and David just kind of said it too. Oh, who? Betty, I apologize. I think we don't know for certain that they were all Jews, but I think it's predominant Jews. That's who Christ came to preach to. Exactly. Yeah, so that kind of tells us that Christ was speaking to the Jews. The mystery is not to be given to the Gentiles yet, was the point. He's talking to the Jews, and that's who Christ came teaching. No. I can't answer that. Other than God promised that John would come. That was a prophecy. I can't say why. I don't know. I agree. Yeah, the earthly principles that are taught in the parables are pretty straightforward. I think people understood those. What they didn't get was the connecting of the dots to the spiritual principles that they needed to understand. Yeah, and that's what Christ says. He said, that's why I'm teaching this way, because it's not yet ready to be revealed. That's what Christ says. Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And that's why Christ says that that's why he taught that way. Yeah, got a question for you. Begin in the book of Acts and go through the book of Jude. Do you ever see any of the apostles or the inspired writers teaching in parables? Why? The mystery isn't being pointed towards. It's being revealed. So when you're revealing it, you're not going to teach it in a cloud. You're going to reveal it. Paul says point blank, we're baptized with Jesus, we're raised into the newness of life, just like he was. Death, burial, and resurrection, Romans chapter 6. That's revelation. We don't see that in the teaching of Christ in his parables. Why? Because it was still a mystery out there to be revealed. Christ wasn't ready for it to be revealed yet. Go ahead.
It's kind of interesting, Gil, that not only did Christ teach in parables, but God himself taught in parables and revealed that through the prophets.
Okay.
The parables,
sure,
that was taught. He has the parables of the valley of dry bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now we really haven't gotten very far away from what we're talking about. We're talking about the soil. Base definition of the soil in the parable is the heart of somebody. His attitude towards what they are hearing and whether or not they are going to understand it. Okay? The purpose of parables was to explain a principle that says, that fire's hot. I don't want to touch that because I know it'll burn me. And if that fire's hot, how much more painful or tormenting is going to be hell? That's the principle. That's hot. Avoid it. Hell is torment. Avoid it. We're seeing principles that are being taught. But for the seed to take root, the heart must be ready to receive it. If the heart's not ready to receive it, it will not be received. And Satan will snatch it away. Or the cares of the world will grow up around it and choke it out. Okay? We're actually up in time. We'll begin in verse 21 next week. And we will look at the next type of soil. Thank you.